Are there situations throughout the year here in Michigan that you do need to provide special accommodations because of the kind of weather that goes through, or are they pretty much able to handle it?
It does depend on the situation. If you have a herd of horses and they can get away from the wind and they're adequately fleshed, so they have a good body condition, they don't necessarily need shelter. But certainly a windbreak is always appreciated. And if they're not adequately in good body condition or they're alone, then the chance of them getting cold and having problems associated with it are real. And then you would either need some sort of shelter, or people will blanket horses to try to help, you know, decrease energy use.
Yeah, no top hats, though. No little hats to keep them from coming out of their head.
No.
Okay. Well, they say what? What percentage comes out the top of your head? I figure maybe that's a great new idea. Little horse hats. Okay. So we've got kind of accommodations, and sometimes there's other ways that people take to still have a horse but not actually own it on their property, right? A number of people probably have horses, but they have to go visit them somewhere else.
Probably the vast majority of people board their horses at stables, boarding stables, similar to Sherrill's. And they often have, in those situations, the horses are in a stall for a period of time during the day and then will be turned out. So they get both worlds, maybe not perfect for a horse, but certainly adequate, where they get access to outdoors, maybe some pasture, you know, some just a place to move around, be in the sun. And then they also come in maybe at night or depending on the weather during the day if it's hot.
Sure.
We're talking with Dr. Elizabeth Carr, Doctor of Veterinary Medicine from the College of Veterinary Medicine at Michigan State University. Betsy, I have a question. You talked about the teeth of the horse, and Rick and I have talked with other people, and they've mentioned the issue of the problems with horses' teeth and the need to consistently file them. Can you explain to me exactly what goes on that causes that and what the problems are if they're not taken care of regularly?
Sure. Horses' teeth are they continue to grow or erupt throughout their life till they're quite old, at which point they may stop erupting. And they are a little bit offset, which means that the lower arcade doesn't actually truly match directly up with the upper. They're actually – the base is narrower, so their lower arcades are actually closer together than their upper. So as they grind and wear them, they tend to form what we call points on the edges of the upper outside part of the teeth and the lower insides of the lower teeth. And those points can get fairly sharp and jagged and cause problems, give them ulcers, cut their tongue, cut their gum line, and also change the grinding surface, make it too steep so they can't effectively grind. So one of the routine medicine, preventative medicine things we recommend is approximately yearly float, depending on the horse's teeth. Floating just means exactly what you said, grinding those points down on the lateral uppers and medial lowers to try to bring that arcade back into a normal plane and take away the points that can hurt them and cause ulcers.
Is there not some natural form of when they're eating that would do that already? Or is that just a part of, again, their evolving diet that's causing that need to have it done by a veterinary doctor?
That's a really good question, because obviously wild horses didn't have dentists or equine dentists. It's probably a combination of individual horse mouth conformation. So probably the horses that did best in the wild had mouths that had the conformation was such that they didn't form as sharp a point or as steep an edge. And generally, eating roughage does do that sort of grinding. So it's a little bit of both.
So this floating technique, is this something that's done by veterinarians, or are there other options? And that being the case, we know there's also hoofing, what we haven't talked about much. Maybe is that the same person that does that can do that? And how often do you do both of those?
Generally, it's recommended to have a veterinary dentist or an equine veterinarian do the dental work. There are what we call lay dentists, so people that have been trained in equine dentistry. They have different levels of training because they obviously didn't go through veterinary school. And so it would depend on the severity of the work that needed to be done. In general, though, an equine veterinarian that does the dentistry, you certainly get a lot more knowledge behind the dental work.
Uh-huh. And what about, can you comment a bit about other techniques that of treats or rewards that can also help keep those teeth down, or is it pretty much not going to affect that?
Probably not going to affect it.
You'd have to do it too much?
Yeah. The major thing is diet, really, having a roughage, but that's not going to correct dental problems that develop.
So I know there's one question that anyone that's thinking about buying a horse might wonder about, and you're the perfect expert to ask. What about veterinary expenses associated with owning a horse?
Sure. So besides dentistry, the two big areas that you need to think about, including your veterinarian, is parasite control or worms, most people, and then vaccinations. Since horses are constantly reinfested with worms in the environment they live in, they are shed into the pasture and they eat the eggs when they're in contact with them. They need to talk to their veterinarian about a deworming program or a regular, you know, giving them medications to kill the worms, as well as other management techniques to try to decrease the worm population on the soil. The other area that's really important is vaccinations, and to discuss with your veterinarian what types of vaccines are recommended. We have there are many horse vaccines available, and there are some we group to what we would call core vaccines, which are what we consider every horse should get because of either the type of disease, the severity of it, et cetera. But the bottom line is that's something that you and your veterinarian need to decide together based on the types of horses you have, how many horses you have, as well as what you do with them, where do they go, who do they meet, et cetera. So dentistry, vaccinations, and parasite control, as well as foot care are probably the big areas that, you know, will be an expense if you decide to get a horse.
We've been talking today with Dr. Elizabeth Carr, Doctor of Veterinary Medicine from the Department of Large Animal Clinical Sciences at Michigan State University. Thank you so much for coming in, Betsy. We really appreciate your being in the studio with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it was our pleasure. Rick, after the break, we've got a very interesting segment to continue on. Last week, we talked about police dogs. Well, most people don't think about police horses, but there actually is a mounted patrol, and we're going to talk with the Oakland County Sheriff's Department and the Mounted Horse Patrol and find out what it's like to care for those animals right after the break here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILF.
Well, my heart knows it better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let it do all the talking.
Ooh-hoo.
I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree.
Ooh-hoo.
I felt a little fear upon my back. I said, don't look back, just keep on walking.
Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo.
When the big black car said, look this way, he said, hey,